morning. Is it done? Good.
All right. 9 o'clock. Let's call this meeting to order.
Here. Then we have a quorum meeting set for January 12th at 4 p.m.
All right, we'll jump right into agenda item number one, update from Grayson Johnson, James Ferguson Associates. Take it away.
Okay, everybody's on the back side of the room.
It's warmer over there.
It's warmer over there?
A lot of hot air over there on the second row.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see those of you who are here. It's good to see you. One of the things that I wanted to talk about today is an issue that I suspect every single one of you who have people reporting to you have a problem with. So how many of you have issues with gossip?
Really?
Yeah. So that's what I want to talk to you about. You know, wow, when you stand up here and talk about this, I just can't tell that. I can't tell you how many conversations I have with clients regarding their employees to gossip. It's, as long as employees are together, they're going to gossip. It's a human nature, and that it's disruptive. At the very, very minimum, it's disruptive. It's distracting. But at its worst, which is usually the case, it is incredibly toxic. It's pervasive. And also, it is bullying and harassment.
I think that's Facebook, isn't it?
Yeah. Bullying and harassment. And it's got to be managed, because the quickest way to absolutely kill the culture that you want to maintain in your workspace with the people that you work with, it's incredibly toxic. Now, it will always be with us. Kind of like taxes. It will always be with us. But it's up to you guys. Everybody in this room that has people that report to them to manage it. And that's all I want to talk to you about today, is how do you manage it, because it what gossiping does when it takes on bullying is that it's generally targeting a person, and the targets of bullying are often considered, what happens with the health, mental health, is that they actually suffer from symptoms like PTSD. It of course has the mental and the emotional dynamic that's going on with it, but it also has the physical impact because of the stress. And often the people who are the target of the bully, then sometimes they're your best employee. And if you don't manage it immediately and take care of it, then what's going to happen is you're going to lose that employee, because they're going to think they have no other option but to leave, to get away from the bullying. So I'm not talking about bullying. I have done an entire seminar specifically about bullying, but I'm just talking about the gossip today. And it is up to you guys to take care of it. And I know how hard it is to have these conversations, but you're all in leadership positions, and that's what leadership does. And just to remind you the standards and expectations that are in the employee handbook that we just got out, yay, everybody. Just to remind you, this is what it says. The county is responsible for providing a safe and secure workplace and visitor experience, and strives to ensure that all individuals associated with the county and the general public are treated in a respectful and fair manner. Now, that safe and secure workspace isn't just physical. It isn't just protecting them from violence in the workplace or somebody coming in. It's a safe place is also a safe place for employees to feel that they can come to you. That if there's something in the workplace that bothers them, that they can come to you and you're going to address it. So here's some tips that I wanted to share with you on how to manage gossip in the workplace. And the very, very first step is to have a policy with your standards and expectations and a code of conduct. Now, this goes on to say that the Board of County Commissioners, elected officials, and supervisors are responsible for implementing standards of performance and expectations appropriate to their district and department. And then this directs your employees, please contact your elected official or supervisor if you have any questions on standards and expectations. Now, the employee handbook does not set out that code of conduct and does not have all the bullets what you expect employees to do. However, that doesn't mean that you can't. And that's something that I can help you guys define if you do not have it. I know I've worked with Jeannie and Marla on their standards of conduct and expectation for their employees. So once you have that, now you have the tool. Now you have a way to talk to the people involved with the gossiping. So that's absolutely the first step, to remind them, this is how we expect you to behave. We expect everybody to behave professionally and respectfully to your co-workers. It also means that you can actually have a way to discipline, and you also have a way to put that behavior, the gossiping behavior, in the performance evaluation. So guess what? All of a sudden when the employee realizes that they are not behaving in a way that meets your standards and expectations, and that there's going to be consequences, then that's you can see how that's an important first step. But before it gets to there, the other thing is for you guys to lead by example. That you're not involved with the gossiping, that you consistently behave in a professional manner, and it doesn't mean that you can't be friendly. It also doesn't mean that you can restrict the employee's right to certain conversations that they have a right to have, and that have been specifically spelled out in the National Labor Relations Act. But those communications have to do with their work environment, not what's happening to Sally. You heard Sally in here. I don't do the word Sally, and I'm always saying I'm going to offend somebody. or what Joe is doing, and they're about their personal lives. But if there is a work situation, the employees have a right to talk about that. But they also have a right to communicate their concerns with you as their leadership. So for you, the next step is to encourage that communication, to make sure that you have a culture of transparency in your workplace. Also, address the gossip early. So not only is the gossip harassing and bullying, but it's also disruptive to the flow of work. It impacts what your department is doing, because while they're gossiping, work isn't getting done. So address it early and let them know that this gossip is not going to be tolerated. And again, remind them of the code of conduct and the expectations for your department. You can promote positive gossip, like if somebody has received recognition somewhere or an award somewhere, or even if you happen to know that their children have actually had a remarkable achievement. There is positive gossip, but usually gossip is toxic. Usually it's destructive, it's damaging. You can also provide training. You know, just like I mentioned that I do training on bullying. I also do training on difficult conversations. So those are things to think about too if you want to provide some kind of training for the people in your workplace. Don't forget to engage with the perpetrators. Because there's always one person that starts it. And so engage with that person immediately. And because that person actually can have some leadership. And to train employees on how, if they hear the gossip beginning, for somebody to step up and correct the information. Because most information gossip is wrong, it's rumor. So for somebody to have the courage, and I know it takes courage in the workplace to say, that's not factual information. But they always go to the person that starts the gossip. Because you need to pull the plug on that. Also, empathize with the target. Make sure the target knows that he or she has your support, that you're dealing with it, because you can't ignore it. It's not because it will destroy your culture. It will destroy the civility in your workplace. And finally, call Grayson. Involve HR. So that if you need help in having just even a third person there in the conversation with the perpetrator, or even the target, or both, you know I did here. And you don't have to wait until once a month when I'm here, because you don't want to wait on this. I am perfectly happy to drive over here and be here, because this is important. it's just something that, it's not going to go away. I can tell you that. It's not going to go away. However, you can control it. And you can control it, first of all, for making sure that you have the policy, that you as leaders are modeling the behavior that you want your employees to show, and to get on top of it right away. So, as I said, of course, I'm here today until around noon, and or even later if you need me to be here later. And I'd be more than happy to help you write that standard of conduct or code of behavior if you need that help, or if you don't have one, or if you want me to see what you already have, please. You know, that's what I'm here for. Any questions? Okay, thank you everybody for your attention. By the way, Happy New Year. I hope 2026 is starting out really great for you.
Grayson, thank you. Those are the issues that usually can, like you said, they can destroy the culture within an office or an organization, and need to be addressed. Sometimes not the easiest thing to do, but it's have to be able to continue to build a positive culture within the organization. All right, thank you. Next item is discussion regarding county budget board process. We're hoping to see a little more attendance from the other elected officials, but
believe it or not, if we had a budget for it, we would have a quorum.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
So, there is 9 counties out of 77 in Oklahoma that are budget board counties. And I called 7 of them. The 2 I didn't call, Tulsa County and Oklahoma County, because they're a beast amongst to themselves. They're not really representative. Yeah, the remaining 7 run a variety of county populations from 15,000 up to 300,000. Cleveland County is of those 7, Cleveland County would be the most populated, and I can't remember which one is the least, but it's like 15,000 way south. But I talked to the county clerk, because the clerk would be the agenda setter and all that of a budget board, to get their impression. Every one of them were very, very positive about being a budget board county. And then I talked to either the chairman, the commissioner that was the chairman, or the most tenured, somebody who would have some miles behind them, and also got, if they were new, their comment was, well, I don't know anything else but a budget board. Or if they were very tenured, they were very positive. So, Washington County, they're within our CED, and we're really close to the commissioners in Washington County. And I talked with Mitch this morning, Mitch Ample, and just asked some questions that maybe come up today about a process. And would we be willing, if there's a level of interest, would you be willing to come and talk and attend a meeting here to answer questions? I was going to do the same with another county, maybe Payne County, and see if they would be willing to come and answer questions. Maybe, because, you know, as I told Nick, I don't know what I don't know. You know, I've heard how it works. One thing I do know is that Board of County Commissioners would create a budget board, and that would be for a year. So if we decide to go down that road, we can make that decision at any time now, but it would not go into effect until July 1 of the following year. So feel free to correct me. But if that was the case, and that it pretty sure is, since it would be the year that I would be putting a budget together, I would like to mock a budget board and at least operate in under that same model, so when next year it would be officially, there would already be some experience of that, and it wouldn't be starting fresh in July 1. Which you really don't do anything for that half of the year anyway, because the budget's already set. But, so I asked Mitch, and I go, so where's your starting point? Where do you guys start? And he said, they meet monthly, budget board meets monthly. And he said, so really, they start talking budget in March, which is kind of when we meet. But as a board, I go, okay, so what's the, you still don't know your numbers. They don't get their numbers just like we don't get ours until after the new budget year starts. By the time Josh is able to do all the evaluations and Kareem does his crunching, do we actually know what money is going to be available? But for them, he said, we start flat. He says, that is our starting point. Flat. You know, so everybody is all the departments are saying, put a budget together on what you did last year. And if there's a raise, which them, like us, try and incorporate a raise every year,
that flat plus what the calculated rate would be, whatever percentage, is the starting point. And then if there is leaks within the office, that department would present their additional needs above a flat budget from the previous year to the budget board, and would have to convince the budget board that that need is justified. So one of the advantages that I tell you I like right out of the gate is right now in our current model, the chairman meets one-on-one. And the other two commissioners really don't know what those conversations are. This would allow the three of us to be part of that conversation all the time. So I would find it helpful to have the three of us and at least two other, in today's example, two other elected officials hearing that same request. If there is a change in what was used, the budget we're currently using, if there's a need that's above that, the majority of the budget board would hear that and be able to make that decision. So the Board of County Commissioners creates a budget board. You're bound to that for a year. If it's dysfunctional, then the Board of County Commissioners would have the ability to have it go away and go back to the traditional model. So the only commitment would be at least 1 year as a budget board. And again, if it's Mitch, Commissioner Ample told me, the goal is obviously open conversation amongst the elected officials, so every elected official gets to hear those same requests. Because right now, one-on-one conversations, the thing that I hear most often is, I didn't know what the other office, I didn't know what those conversations were, which ultimately ends up with an excise board hearing that at the last minute. You know, they're hearing, well, I needed $100,000 and blah, 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 so we'll get into that. But what it also does is it takes the excise board, they do not go away. They're still required statutorily to be in place, but the budget board determines if there's money to be changed, moved, not the excise board. Correct? So they're still in play. I don't know what their role is. I mean, they
kind of budget very low. They still approve all the budgets for the school board and all those things. But
all eight elected officials, or their, let's just say, and I'll just tell you how Scott Walton rarely comes, but the first one
that I have to look and see, because I was reading the statute on that, and it was the elected official, and in a vacancy, it doesn't say anything about the
chief deputy or the first deputy.
Something's still according to the law. So we have to look and see.
All right. Well, that just would mean they would not have a seat at the table.
Well, the only problem with the concern is just having to be a quorum. I mean, today we had top five, but right. If we only had four, we would not have a quorum.
Right. And that's one of my concerns is going in this direction, implementing this process would require additional work and responsibilities for each elected official's office. What I have seen over the past few years is exactly the opposite. We have officers who don't want to accept additional responsibilities or additional work, who have actually been moving in the other direction. That's a concern of mine. How much buy-in do you need to implement this?
And it can't be different ones that come to the board meetings. It has to be.
So you, the statute says.
It has to be all eight, or at least five of us show up.
A quorum would be five. So if any five, and you've got four, generally they're always going to be opinions. So you just need one other. And that's business of the other board.
Okay. And you know what I'm talking about. Officers wanting to get out of work, not accepting responsibility.
More money, they don't give me any more responsibility.
Yeah. So that's a concern right out of the gate for me.
I'd like to see everybody here, too.
Me too.
There's three more. Yeah. There's three more that haven't been on here.
I would have as well. I would
have. We really need to buy in from all eight.
Just the agenda item. I thought would have generated enough interest to just show up and listen. So, I don't know, you guys. I mean,
let's try to have another one of these and make it, tell them they have to show up to this. It's not going to hurt them to come once in a while. I don't know where the treasurer's office is. I'm disappointed they're not here.
I was interested in your plan for a mock budget board because you can't implement this. What if the, say this board decided to move in that direction, it would obviously have to go through an agenda and a vote. Mm-hmm. What is the cutoff date for doing that?
Well, we have until the board
to June.
June and have it in effect by July 1. Mm-hmm. But by saying a mock, I mean, that would be an agenda. It would be an agenda item. And I've done this with you guys in the past. We all met up in the meeting room and had a PowerPoint. But I would like to see it be more intentional as how a budget board operated, so we would be used to that method or model as we actually, it did take effect. So it would be an open meeting, having, I mean, if just five of us that here show up, and then that's who makes the decision. I like the fact that I'm sitting alongside you two talking about the budget and just me, and then kind of throw it out there and say, okay, I met with every office, this is where we are. It would be along the same process to where we'd have every office present their needs to, I would like to think we could get five every month, and then as it got closer to the budget time, we may have to meet twice a month. Just mm-hmm.
The idea of your test run is at least intriguing to me. That way we could have some idea of participation, cooperation, before we actually implement.
And hold off on a vote to see how that goes until June. You know, and if we just don't get the participation.
Well, we got court clerk, treasurer, and sheriff on his
side. So, if, I mean, that, I think that he would really be a good opportunity to see the level of interest and participation, and if it's positive, then in June or May or June, then we decide which direction we want to go. Another factor that just goes through my mind is there's elected officials change. Some are not running again. And so there's a new person that would be in that seat, and to have some tenure around the table to help at least inform and guide a new elected official. We're going to have the county's portion is going to be really close to $20 million this year. You know, I think, see, what was yours?
18.3,
and it's a level of growth that we are experiencing, which is about 5-6% year over year growth. If you look at the chart, I mean, it goes up as much as 11, but then the year after that it's 1.7. So if you average that out, it would be about a 5-6% year over year growth. So if you look at year over
yours, it would be nearly $20 million that we'd be looking at this coming year. We're taking on new facilities. There's going to be a lot more of a demand on Doug's office. Well, he's got to explain that to everybody, that he's not wanting more money because, you know, cleaning supplies went up, which we know they are. He's taking on a 22,700 square foot building. So the cost of just doing maintenance there. Those are the conversations I would like to have in a group and be able to hear that and make those decisions with a majority.
Call another one of these next month and make it clear that everybody needs to come. Kathy Bates down to Kathy upstairs probably just didn't even know that much about it, but they need to show up again.
And I'll contact them personally to let them know that if they're, you know, if they want to say, they'll be here. If they want to have a seat at the table, they'll have a seat. But if they don't show up, they have no seat. I mean, they get what the group decides. But with you know, the turnover of elected officials in a county that's growing at the pace we are, everything we're taking on is not for, it would be difficult for new people, I think, to continue at our pace of growth if there's not a firm foundation. And that comes with people's tenure. It just comes with people that's been here and have the conversation, knows how it works, and can be able to help at least explain to new people in a meeting and be able to educate newly elected folks as they come on. So I will reach out to everybody, not just those that are not here, but everybody, as a reminder that if they can use maybe this date, our staff meeting, as we go through. But
what about the appointed ones? Are they going to have any say on their budget?
Yeah, that office. Yeah.
And OSU Extension.
Well,
that's where I was going.
So I do have a question about budget boards, because those counties that I know of that have budget boards, it's a struggle for the extension office, because we don't have a seat at the table. If there is an increase, which we don't get a house, my office doesn't have a say on any increase that comes from the campus. And sometimes when they say no, then I lose a person. And so we don't have as strong of a voice when it comes to that budget board. So that's my concern. You guys have been gracious enough to keep our office fully staffed, and we're able to rehire our admin this year. But I appreciate the fact how we have been doing it. I understand that you want to have all of the commissioners available at this budget board. But I will say, for those of us who are not elected, and I'll speak for extension myself, that's not always been a good problem for us. That would be my
point. I'm concerned quite a bit, just because of what counting was on our plate. We are ground zero, and we're getting hit with more and more and more, and I need more staff, I need more help. I'm really concerned about it also, because what we bring in is what is developing the rest of the county. It's going to the first office, it's the assessor, it's the treasurer. We can't stop, but we sort of have so much thrown at us right now that it's starting to be a little scary. Really is.
So, to your two concerns, I don't know how much the other elected officials or departments even understand that revenue flow. So it would educate them as the fact that miscellaneous receipts are primarily driven by your office. You know, you have three forms of revenue that come in: ad valorem, miscellaneous receipts, and carryovers. Who knows that? Well, three of us do.
But I can do that.
That's for my office. That's for me.
Yeah.
To use the stuff in my office.
But how?
A big
I don't know how many.
Things.
Yeah. 2.4 million, 2.6 million. But those sort of things now are done in an open, a round table, you know. Donna, I mean, to your concerns, I look at it relationships.
Oh, for sure.
You know, we're proud to have a strong extension in Rogers County, and we see the result of that when you look at all the things that are being generated out of the extension office. And of course, the most visible one is the fix. You know, an affair that I've been told outside of Oklahoma State Fair and Tulsa State Fair, our county fair is the one strongest in the state. And that's to be proud of. So I just
if all the electeds understand that.
Yeah.
I hesitate to say that our office is only responsible for the fair.
I know.
Therefore,
that.
Yeah. But we do so much more than that.
Yes, you do.
I mean, that's
the line. Most visible.
That's the most visible, but we do a lot more than that.
I totally understand that. But it also gives you a chance to highlight that. You know, I had something else I was rattling around in my brain, but
I think we just need to have another meeting and see if we can get everybody here. All the appointees, if everybody would show up, maybe we can get it some ready.
I said that your appointees are
here. Do what?
I said your appointees are
here. It's the appointed side. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And you know that you would present your budget just like Jean would present her budget to the budget board. Staff replacement would present their budget. Kareem would present his budget. Jill would have to get approval of the budget board. So it's, the process doesn't change for any department that has a budget.
And
all would have to be presented.
The three commissioners don't have much of a budget. Our budget, well, for Kelly in this office, there's a budget, and then we have a cemetery budget.
That's the overall, yeah.
Pennies compared to what goes on here. So I think we need to just call another meeting and try to get everybody here.
All right. So just to give you guys a heads up there.
Tell them we're going to have food, and they'll all show up.
I want to attempt to have a budget process to be similar to a budget board. So at least, and it'll be a posted, but that'll at least give me a chance, and we'll have those budget requests done.
I'd really be a way to test the waters.
Yeah. Scotty, what'd you have?
Would the budget board also oversee the use tax money?
No.
No.
That's commissioner.
It's
not a budget. We don't have a budget for it.
Yeah, just the ad valorem, or just those three revenue streams. Carry over the claims receipts and ad valorem. Unless that vote passes, that goes away with property taxes. And then we're free. Yeah, I don't mind. We'll just have this agenda outstanding, and I will communicate individually to all the elected officials to just emphasize their.
It has to be there.
Yes, and I will also see if Mitch, Mr. Angel, who expressed his willingness to come and talk to us to give an answer.
He likes to talk.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Or maybe another person from a budget board county to come and talk.
If he can't make it, done that could come.
Yeah.
If Mitch isn't available.
Okay. All right. I don't have anything else. You guys?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. So, entertain a motion to recess or adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Delozer.
Aye.
Hendricks.
Aye.
Burroughs.
Aye.
Motion for adjournment, 9:39 a.m.